start, we will first do the minutes for the last two meetings. So we have minutes for Thursday, March 2nd, and yesterday, March 8th. So would you all take a look at the minutes for March 2nd, please? Thank you, Representative Biskins. Representative Biskins has moved the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? All right, hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Okay, on to the minutes for Wednesday, March 8th. And you can glance at those if you wish to quickly.
Madam Chair, I'll move the minutes.
All right. Representative Doran moves the minutes. Are there additions or corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The minutes are approved. All right. We have two sets of minutes approved. Now, we are still looking for the author. But I think in the absence of the author, I would ask you folks to come down. There's no point in wasting everybody's time here. I bet he just forgot. Did he have a guest? Representative Biskins.
Madam Chair, if it be your desire, I can move House File 1119 to be before the committee.
I would appreciate that, Representative.
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. House File 1119 is now before the committee. And let's let you folks introduce yourselves and begin to talk about it, and we'll let Kurt Zellers speak a little bit later.
Okay. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. I'm Rena Kragness, the Mayor of Brooklyn Center.
Okay.
And I'm John Fredrickson, Assistant Superintendent for Administration for the Oswego Area Public Schools.
Okay. Thank you. And please, one of you, move on.
Please.
Okay.
We're delighted to be here, and thank you very much for making time in your busy schedules today, Madam Chair, members, and audience. The project that we're discussing is House File 1119, and this is for the Northwest Suburban Family Center. And this is a very high priority for our school district, particularly, and also for the school districts that are neighboring us in this area on Okehennepin and Brooklyn Center. We have not only children with substantial ABE needs and in our classes, English language learner needs in our classes, but also adults in our adult basic education program that have really substantial needs that make it very, very difficult for them to participate in these classes and activities. We're talking about some really basic needs in terms of housing, food, clothing, and health care that this center will allow us to work together with other agencies to succeed on. We provide a ton of language skills in this the education side of the building that's already been constructed by the school district. We provide classes in adult basic education, adult diploma, GED, and English language learners. But we've got a large population that's coming in, particularly in the areas of Liberian immigrants and Hmong immigrants that supplement the groupings that we currently face in our East Side schools. We have over 70 languages. We have over 10% ELL, that's English language learners population. In other words, homes where there's no English spoken inside. And this is really difficult. We need other agencies for one-stop shopping. You know, all of us sitting around the table can probably afford our own car to drive to Rosedale or the Mall of America, where you have a lot of opportunities to avail yourself of a lot of different services and products. These are families who are sharing cars, two or three or four families. They come carpooling in a vehicle that many people probably would be hesitant to drive it as far as St. Cloud. These are the people that really need one-stop shopping and would make excellent use of it and be really successful if given that opportunity. We want to have that opportunity to do that shared activity with the other agencies that can really make it happen to get these folks into the community, into American life, and into our economy. And I'd stand for my esteemed elected official here, Myrna, who lives and works there every day.
Thank you very much, John. As I said, I'm Rena Kragness, Mayor of Brooklyn Center, and I've been involved in the planning for this center for many years, and it's a high need in the communities in the Northwest. Our cities in the Northwest region of Hennepin County provide homes to an increasing number of at-risk families. You have a handout, and I'm sure there's statistics in those that you could take a look at. We have the highest percentage of single-parent households and the highest rate of teen pregnancy in the county, and the lowest per capita income, too. The proportion of families on MFIP in our cities is twice the suburban average in the metro area. The number of immigrants who make their homes in Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center has increased 350% over the last 10 years. Of Hennepin County families who speak Hmong at home, 88% live here. Of Hennepin County families who speak an African language at home, 47% live here. These are not just Brooklyn Center issues or issues isolated to our region. These are statewide issues. Our communities are home to a large and increasing number of state immigrant poor and at-risk families. How well our region does helping these families become self-sufficient, productive citizens determines how well our state will do. Our local community has taken the initiative to respond. We have studied the issue and we have formed a coalition of partners to make an effective response. Because we all own the challenge, we are all participating as we can in the solution. The state share in this overall project budget is just $1 out of every $6, or 16%. But it is a vital portion. We look forward to your participation in our coalition. If we hope to provide a solution and not just a Band-Aid, we cannot meet the needs of families in our community without a coordinated approach between the schools, the county, and the nonprofit service providers. That is what we're doing here. Also in that handout is a list of the partners that will be at that facility. Our goal is to stabilize the families and keep them out of crisis so they can continue on their path to self-sufficiency. Short term, we will provide relief to those in need and prevent a problem from getting dramatically worse. Long term, by stabilizing families, we will help our children succeed in school by ensuring they show up for class ready to learn. The fundamental promise presented to all Americans is the equality of opportunity. At the very least, that equality should mean each child will arrive at kindergarten gate to learning with a realistic approach to succeed. Unfortunately, half of Minnesota's children reach kindergarten unprepared to succeed, and the vast majority of these children come from households that have poor or have limited parental education or language skills. These consequences affect us all across the entire state. We must all do our share by contributing to the solution. Thank you.
Representative Sellers.
Madam Chair, committee members.
Would you present your bill, Representative?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
My apologies. We just didn't know where to look for you.
You, my wife, my upstairs, the LAs, it's a common problem. My apologies to you and the committee members. Thank you so much. If you've already reviewed some of the materials, you'll see we are a project that was in search of a home the past couple of sessions, and I believe that we are finally now in the right process, in the right committee, and during the right bonding year. This is a wonderful collaborative effort, not only with some of our public-private partnerships, but also across an economic and demographic background in our area of the Northwest suburbs. You will find that the Osceola School District itself has some very wide gaps, some very stark differences in not only economic but geographic backgrounds. This project will help to bridge some of those gaps and will also help to continue the educational process, not only for our students but for some of the parents who are also going to be getting services while at the same time collaborating with our school district. So I thank you for your time today. I'm going to let some of the other presenters finish up. If there are any other questions after that, please feel free to ask us. We're here as the only bill, so we don't anticipate in keeping you any longer than you'd like to for your lunch. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You are welcome. Now, you did get a $50,000 planning grant for this facility?
Yes. Last year, and that's currently what we're working on trying to do some of the planning activities, spacing, and also working with the different agencies that would come on board.
And what is the total cost of the total project? Not the, you're only doing a piece of it. So the state dollars, the total cost is 8.6. The state dollars that you're asking for now is only going to build one piece of it, right?
Approximately half of it. $1.5 million in state dollars, and approximately $4.5 million in terms of school district money, and then a spectrum of other organizations are either planning to, have offered to, or will be soon to offer money out of their checkbooks.
I like your confidence. We'll soon offer. All right.
We have knocked on many doors.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor. What was that?
I said we have knocked on many doors.
We have an excellent team that, in terms of leveraging dollars, we just turned a $138.9 million bond issue into $175 million worth of improvements for students in the area, and we're looking to have that same kind of success on this.
You know, one of the things the bonding committee always looks for is whether or not you meet some kind of a statewide criteria for value statewide. And so I think you should be prepared to answer that question, if not here, when you go before the bonding committee. So, you know, if you'd like to, you may answer that here also. Somebody raised their hand back there, so I think we'd like to answer that question. You can pull up another chair if you like. You can grab any of those.
I didn't anticipate, Madam Chair. I'm Joan Molinar from Chatham, but I've been working with the effort for a number of years through one of the Family Service Collaboratives, which they're driven to make change in systems to serve children for success and for the family success. This effort is not only serving the Osseo Brooklyn Center, but it is serving 8 communities and 3 school districts for sure, with access to some of the other school districts. We go out to part of Plymouth, Maple Grove, Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, Champlain, Dayton, etc. So it is more than just one small area. The statistics should be, I believe, included in the packet.
Okay.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was part of my question that I was going to ask. Brooklyn Center School District is involved in this collaboration, because I do know that there's quite a need in the Brooklyn Center area.
Yes, this is the northwest corner of Hennepin County, and it's Osseo School District, Anoka School District, and Brooklyn Center School District. So all 3 school districts are involved, and will be serviced at this center.
So which school district is donating that $4.5 million? Is that just the Brooklyn Park District?
That's the Osseo School.
Osseo.
That's the Osseo District. Okay.
And Madam Chair, members, if you look on your handout on page 4 of the sheet that we handed out that has the phase 1 and phase 2, there's a map of the service center area. The colored portion is the service center area. And the right red star down on the bottom right-hand corner there is where the center will be located, or is located, and where the phase 2 will be finished.
So you will have families coming all the way from Dayton, Corcoran, et cetera?
Madam Chair, yes.
We already have families coming from those areas to the adult education center first phase. Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Zellers, when I see projects outlined in phases, it makes me nervous, because I always get the feeling that, if we give you money for a project now, we're in so deep that when you come back next time, we don't have any choice but to give you more. My question is, you're asking for $1.5 million. Are you going to be back?
I think that's probably an excellent question. Mr. Fredrickson, Mr. Representative Zellers.
Chair Sikora and Director, Representative, there are 2 phases to this project. The school district built the education phase. There's not enough land on the site to put any third or fourth phases on. And we have been in substantial contact with some of the neighbors in terms of purchasing additional land. That has not been successful. We have real strong beliefs that we have the start is the $1.5 million. That will get the rest of the ball rolling for the rest of phase two. I don't anticipate coming back to you next year for this. I may come back to you on some other committee on some other money issue, but not this one. Thank you.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, I'd add also, Representative Newman, Chair Sikora, members, this project is a little bit different in that rather than coming to the bonding committee first with phase one, we've already done some of the homework and some of the background ourselves. We've started with phase one. We're coming for the completion, whereas a lot of other programs will come and say, if you'll give us the money for phase one, we'll go and finish phase two later on. We're a little bit different. We started on our own. We've got the education part already finished. Now we're asking just to complete the project and to continue the Adult Education Center as well.
Is there a third phase then? The way the picture looks, I thought part of it was... So you're building phase two now, and you'll be complete?
Right.
Yes, oh, okay. Okay. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and testifiers and Representative Seller. I think you have a wonderful project. And looking over the packet here, for members who were not able to go to the Mental Health Caucus tour last night, like Representative Sikora and I were able to while we had busy schedules, we know a lot of people had so many conflicts, but we went to the Wilder partnership with St. Paul Public Schools, and this reminds me of that. You know, and one of my concerns that I expressed last night when we debriefed after the tour, because they have this, you know, very, very, very high poverty area and very multicultural, and they need all the kinds of things you have here. But I said it bothers me always that we assume that only in the core cities do we need those kind of things, when in fact we have all those same needs in the suburban areas as well. And I'm so pleased to see that here the very next day is the project in the suburbs, and including mental health services from CLUES, which is a wonderful organization. So I hope with all the work you have done and the small amount of money that you're asking for that Representative Zellers is successful.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All right, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I stepped out for a moment, so I hope this question hasn't been asked. If it has, I understand that you won't answer it, but I'm wondering how you've used the $50,000 planning grant.
Madam Chair and Representative Erickson, the planning grant has gone towards consulting fees and being able to bring people together for the discussions that will help us shape the cadre of folks that are going to be in that service center. There's a lot of negotiation. You know, everyone has an interest. Well, I could use 10,000 square feet, and so-and-so could use 15,000 square feet. And working through exactly how many feet you absolutely got to have to make the thing happen. And it's been an interesting project to get that discussion going and to work with the architects and to work with various agencies that possibly could bring it forward. And it's strictly for convening these activities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Distance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Zellers and Mr. Erickson, I guess I just want to know, first off, the service area itself, as I look on the map, why are there some parts of some cities included and other parts excluded? How is that line for the service areas drawn?
That's the Northwest Hennepin Family Service Area. So it's that those school districts, and it's not the full, like Plymouth, it's not the full amount of Plymouth, it's just a part of it.
So
Northwest Hennepin Human Services.
So then, Madam Chair, am I to
assume? Representative Biskin,
basically school
boundaries.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. So those are school boundaries. Okay, thank you. I am intrigued as to what the location of the building, but the building has already been started, and so I understand that. Representative Zellers, I just have one final question. Is the legislature going to decide who serves the center, or is that going to be up to the local to make that decision? That was a rhetorical question.
I'm sorry. What did you ask, Representative?
Representative Sellers?
Actually, Mr. Erickson would like to answer the siting question, though.
If I may, that's okay. Erickson is a great name. It's earlier in the alphabet and shorter. Chair Secure and Representative Buskins, the facility was cited as a need and interest for the Northwest area for learners, and we looked for three basic criteria. Number one, about 30% of the population going to the adult basic education, adult diploma, and ELL classes were walking out of a general zone of apartments and the like, roughly bounded on the northwest by Brooklyn Boulevard, on the south by Highway 694, and on the west by Zane Avenue. So we really needed to be linked in that direction. And then it was a question of where could we find land that was appropriate and the right price. And that was by tagging it onto some existing school land and picking up some empty lots that were in the area. That's what drove the whole siting. And we also, a second criteria was getting a bus line because, as you know, services in suburbs are not, public services like buses are not the same as in the metropolitan area. And then the third criteria was trying to figure out ways to do some close cooperation with the city of Brooklyn Center, the city of Brooklyn Park, and the Brooklyn Center and Anoka Hennepin schools. And that seemed to be the site that really brought everyone together. I want to comment on Representative Greiling's comments on the city. Our schools on the east side have populations and profiles and demographics very, very similar to those served by Minneapolis. We're the third most diverse school district in the state when you take the whole district. If you take our west side schools, it looks very much more like Minnetonka, Wayzata. And this is a real shared issue for our whole school board. It's been a 6-0 vote to have agreement on this project. They like it because this is an opportunity to serve all of our kids and to address those issues through their parents that are going to get all of our kids to test and succeed the way we want them. All of us would want our own children. Thank you for the question.
You did say, Mr. Fredrickson, that this is on a bus line.
Yes.
And somehow can people get there pretty much from anywhere in the district taking a bus? I find that hard to believe. I can understand. I know this is on a bus line because I'm a little bit familiar with the area, but, you know, can they come from Maple Grove on the bus line or from Plymouth?
I believe I could answer that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Brooklyn Center has a new bus area where it's like a transfer station, and the buses come into that area from, I believe it's something like 40 different routes where they converge there, and then they can transfer to other places. And that bus site is probably less than a mile from where this building is. And there is a transfer of buses from that site that will go past this building.
And, Madam Chair, the Maple Grove has a transit station as well. And it's similar to the normal development of a more sparsely populated, if that's the right word to use, as describing a suburb. As the population builds up, Maple Grove Transit has expanded their services. I anticipate right now it's probably going to be a little bit slower and a little bit more walking for a customer that would come from Maple Grove. But eventually the service will be more direct. The Maple Grove bus line is about a block, maybe two blocks off of the extension of Brooklyn Boulevard. If you drive by on Highway 94, just before the 694-694 Fish Lake Interchange, you'll see the Maple Grove transit site, and they would be able to access it from that point.
Okay. Did you wish to speak?
Madam Chair, Joan Molinar again with the Family Service Collaborative. We have a number of what we call family advocates who work directly with families, and we work hard to make access and solve those issues for families that live further out. So there is anticipation of addressing that where there is hardship. So that's an ongoing piece of the collaborative partnership in this process. Thank you.
I have one a quick question for you. How many families and children do you expect to serve through this facility?
Madam Chair, that's a little more difficult, and I don't know if we've got that developed. I'm trying to remember. We serve about 2,000 to 2,500 adult learners in the adult learners site, but I would anticipate that's going to be a small number compared to the total served, because some services are not going to be linked to the adult ed center. Some of them will strictly go to the community agency center.
And do you have any partnerships with any foundations or anything in the Twin Cities area that are interested in facilities for families?
I know one of the...
Ms. Cragness.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. There are quite a few agencies that we've talked to regarding grants. Target is one of them. They're very interested in this site. And we have... As I say, it's been many years we've been working on this, so we've contacted quite a few. A lot of the grants are saying it's dependent on the first money in. No one wants to be the first money in, so it's a matter of sitting back waiting, and if this goes through with the state, then they're very apt to go ahead and sign the check for us. But they're very committed to it. I might say that during the study period that we did for this Family Service Center, we talked to a lot of agencies and trying to determine the ones that would be the most important in our area and fit the needs of the families that are there in this service area. Bringing dental services in for the children, I think that's so very, very important. Peacemaker Center, they're working with kids that have, not necessarily been involved in the police, but they may have been picked up for shoplifting at Brookdale. Peacemaker works with them. That is very, very successful. The recidivism area, those kids that work with Peacemaker, is less than 5%. I mean, those kids are really doing great, and they're doing a wonderful job there. So the agencies that will be there are the ones that are will be needed in that area, and we're just so excited about getting this started so that we can bring the services to the community rather than the community having to go out to the services.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. Are there any other questions from members of the committee? If not, this will be laid over for possible inclusion in our bonding recommendations. Okay. So thank you very much. Do you have any final words?
No, thank you, Madam Chair, for excusing my delinquency and for taking this extra day. Thank you to the committee members for coming back after yesterday not being able to finish up on time. We appreciate it. And thank you also to Mayor Cragness for coming back down as well. I know she has a busy day and a busy community back in the northwest suburbs, so I appreciate her and Mr. Frederick's been coming back.
I apologize for your need to come twice.
We understand.
Some things are out of our hands here. Many things are out of our hands. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon.
We'll see you all on Tuesday, and the meeting is adjourned.